Good evening. Don't get settled in. This is all I got. It'll be a short one this evening. Turn to Acts chapter 12. I'm going to read a couple of verses. I'm going to recount a story that we're all familiar with on Crucifixion Day and make six brief applications. We don't have a lot of details on Crucifixion Day outside of the garden and the temple and Herod's palace, Pilate's judgment hall, and Golgotha. Everything happened that day of our account, for the most part, in view of Christ. But don't you think on that day that things were much like they were in Acts chapter 12? In Acts chapter 12, we remember the story of Herod beheading James and then imprisoning Peter for the satisfaction of the crowd, and the angel came and released Peter, and he wandered through the streets. And in verse chapter 12, he comes to Mary's house. Let's begin reading there. "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together in prayer. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place." And my point for reading that verse was, is on that terrible day of the beheading of James, can you imagine Freddie being beheaded? The impact that it would have on us. And Wayne being taken into prison and the turmoil that it would create. And here, when Peter gets to Mary's house and John Mark and Rhoda and many, we don't know who they were, but many were gathered there. And Peter calms them down, talks to them, gets their attention, and then he sends them to James, where evidently others were gathered, says, go tell James, go show James and the others, and then Peter goes on somewhere else. There were people that were gathered in many places that were praying. And I think probably that's what was happening on Crucifixion Day. We have the gathering in the garden, and John has special access to the temple, and he lets Peter in. From Mark chapter 12, verse 50, we think it was Mark. You remember the young man that was caught by the cloak, and he pulled away and said he ran away naked. Our scholars think that was probably Mark. But between those three fellows, everyone else scattered. The other nine apostles scattered into the streets. This morning, Jeff made mention of Peter in Matthew chapter 26, verse 75, that after the cock crowed, he said crude, and I about said it too, after the cock crowed, that he wept, and then he left weeping. Peter went off somewhere, and I would suggest that the brethren and the apostles, that everybody that knew were wringing their hands. They were weeping, they were contemplating, they were huddled in homes, fearful for what might happen in the following events of this rabble crew that came and accosted him in the garden. But this evening I wanted to talk about two other people. There were two disciples that actually participated in the trial. Do you remember that? In John chapter 19 and Luke chapter 23 and Matthew chapter 26. And we're not going to go to all those accounts now, but we'll go to them here in just a few minutes. There were two that would have been there in the temple. They would have wagged their heads and maybe put their foreheads in their hands and just listened to the trial as it went on and listened to the hatred and the venom and the envy that was spewing out on this wonderful hero of theirs and ours. And they would have been the first ones to know with a surety that all hope was lost. They would have been the first ones to recognize that there's no good end to this. And I can see these men picking up their things, exiting from the room, and going making preparation for the funeral. They would have left. They would have gathered linens. They would have bought myrrh and aloes, 100 pounds worth. They would have secured a cart and a mule, or a camel or something. And they would have made their way, probably rolled the stone back, got everything ready. Because while everybody else was wringing their hands and everybody else was worrying, and Peter, where John watched the mock trial go on, it was over. These two men, you probably know by now, were Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. We just don't hear too much about them, but they were pivotal players that I think I can relate to. I don't see myself as Peter or John or one of the apostles, or certainly not Mary. Maybe you can relate to Mary, but I might be able to see myself as Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea, that from a distance had watched this ministry and for fear of the crowd had not been real public about their allegiance and their alliance to the way. You know, maybe I could be Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea. Maybe you could be. And very quickly, I want to make six observations about these men and see if you can see yourself in those. Turn to Mark chapter 15 and verse 43. And here we'll get to those accounts that I've alluded to in my short recounting of the events. In Mark chapter 15, verse 43, it says that Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And I want you to think about that just for a minute. Here we have Jesus, a contentious man, a seditionist against the Roman governor. You know, as the trial went, he was a problem. The city was turned upside down because of them. And Joseph of Arimathea went into the chief ruler of the land and said, "I'm with him. Can I have his body?" Can you imagine the courage that it took that afternoon and all of the things that were going on to stand up, and not just to stand up, but to walk into the governor's house and say, "I'm with him and I want his body." I don't know how he said it, but it says he went in boldly. And let me tell you, it took boldness to walk into that room. And my point this evening is, do we have the boldness of Joseph of Arimathea? We face trials and temptations and dissensions and problems all around us. And sometimes we're not real bold, are we? We need to be bold like Joseph of Arimathea. And I don't mean bold like a bully. You know, sometimes we take boldness and sometimes we can get great joy out of calling somebody out and catching them in a wrong. And that's not the boldness that we saw in Joseph of Arimathea. He gathered himself and he walked in a place of importance. And he stood up what was right. And he did what was right. And I hope that we can be that kind of person as well. In Luke chapter 22, verse 52, knowing that from John chapter 3 and verse 3, John chapter 7, verses 45 through 52, and Luke chapter 23, we know that Joseph and Nicodemus were elders, they were scholars, they were part of the Sanhedrin, which would have put them in these events. I wonder, though, as Judas made his plans, and he went into collusion with the elders, and in Luke chapter 52 it says that the elders sent men into the garden. I wonder if they sent Joseph and Nicodemus. I'm kind of thinking that Judas said, "You know, we probably don't want to bring them in on this. You know, we probably don't want them to know," because Judas would have known. They're in alliance with Jesus. They're not going to join this. Let's do this thing in the dark, the cover of darkness. Let's do it with torches and night when the crowds are all in bed. And we don't need Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea there. When problems arise, are you one that is called because you know they know you'll join? Or are you one of those that, they're not going to be with us in this? We need to get around them. I hope we're the bold kind of people that people depend on for doing the right thing and not joining with problems and that's Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. Luke chapter 23, verse 51. Turn there with me real quickly. Luke chapter 23, beginning verse 50 and 51. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. And the same had not consented to the counsel and the deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. When we're surrounded by a consensus of judgment, do we consent? Do we join? Do we join in? You know, sometimes our silence is consent. And we need to join that up with our boldness, and we need to stand up and be counted and do that's what's right. And here we find that Joseph, he didn't consent. I didn't want to read all of the passages. I refer to John chapter 3, John chapter 7, but Joseph had already stood up once in John chapter 7, verses 45. There was a man that was summoned to be brought before the Sanhedrin, and they were going to create a stir over Jesus once again. And in that passage, John chapter 7, 45 through 52, Joseph stood up. He said, are we going to condemn this man before judgment? You know, we see him off in the perimeter of our story throughout the Gospels, but never a focus on him. Is that you? Is that me? Kind of off on the sideline, but to be known that he's not going to consent to this. Sometimes we're consenting to sin. We're consenting to things that go on around about us, and it's easier just to not say anything and not do anything. Not, that was not the case for Joseph of Arimathea. Turn to Mark chapter 15. We'll turn to two passages here. Mark chapter 15, verse 46. I want to ask you, have you paid the price? You know, we talked about the myrrh and the aloes and the hundredweight and the cart. Let's begin in verse 42. We've not read the whole account yet. Mark chapter 15, verse 42. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto them the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he, speaking of Joseph, bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. It says, he bought fine linen. Turn to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 60. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 60. In a parallel account, it says, and he laid it, the body, in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher, and he departed. We see Joseph going to his own expense to buy these things, to secure these things, to give his sepulcher away. And these are small things. These are small prices to pay, but would you have paid it? Are you paying it? Do you pay the price? Sometimes we wait for the government, especially in days of the last couple of weeks, or we look for relief efforts, or we look for the deacons, or we look for somebody else to jump up and step up to the task. Somebody else will pay for it. You know, we're real good about gathering receipts, you know, because I'm going to get reimbursed for this. Keep your receipts. We'll be able to charge them back for it. I don't see that in Joseph. I don't see him gathering their seats. You know, I'm going to get back to these people and say, you know, while they were all holding their hands and fretting and cowering down in back rooms, I'm going to go out and take care of this thing whether they do or not. That's not the spirit I see. I see somebody saw a job to do. He reached in his pocket. He took care of the job. He paid the price. We need to be paying the price. We need to be a Joseph. We need to be a Nicodemus. I hope this isn't accounted to us when the King comes back one day in the judgment of nations. Remember Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 43, and he says, I was hungered, I was naked, I was in prison, and you didn't take me in. The storm's gone. I mean, Jimmy's still here suffering for it. Several of you guys are still suffering for it. I was really good to be there for about 2 days, and then I got dizzy. I got things to do. There's people up there still paying a price. But you know, this is not a price that I'm talking about, that we get in religious circles and we talk about standing up for the Lord and being at services and helping when things need to be done about the building. We're talking about, and Jesus was talking about in the judgment of nations, things that happen every day, not when tornadoes come through, but every day. When somebody needs something, that you're one that can be counted on to step up and just take care of. I'm not talking about just our brethren, but I'm talking about your neighbors, people at work, people all around you, that you do the right thing and you pay the price and don't keep receipts expect to get reimbursed. Do you pay the price? Joseph and Nicodemus did. I think about what all they did that day. They were busy, you know it. They were busy that day, and I don't mean anything, and to speak anything ill of those people that were at Mary's house, let's say, that were praying, but sometimes we've got folks that all they want to do is just pray. The Lord will take care of it. We'll talk about it at services. They were busy. They got out. I got to believe that 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe in the cart and the rolling the stone away, that was a job. Don't you think? I've never thought about these things, nor should I. I read these passages in preparing my mind for the Lord's Supper, and I come across these passages and I think about these little bitty events that we don't spend any time on. Those guys had a busy day, and they were preparing for death. They were preparing for a funeral. They were busy. We need to get busy. In this congregation, in this number, in the things that need to be done, in those lost souls that surround us everywhere, we got things to do. They're not just at work. They're not just at school. They're not just around the churchyard. We got lots to do. And we're preparing for a funeral. Have you borne the burden? Turn to John chapter 39 and verse 39. John chapter 19 and verse 39. I'm going to turn to a couple of passages here. Well, just one. We've already read one. John chapter 19 and verse 39. Start with verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. And he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes at about 100 pound weight. And they took the body of Jesus, and they wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein never a man had been laid. And there laid they Jesus. Therefore, because the Jews' preparation day for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Have you borne the burden? That's what I was talking about, the burden earlier. These guys bore a burden that day. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 talks about bearing one another's burdens. We need to follow the path of Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, and we need to bear one another's burdens, especially those that are not strong in the household of faith. And we need to bear them up and be there for them. And that'll heal this congregation if we do that. We need to do that every day. Did you notice who bore Jesus to the cemetery? It wasn't the 9 that we know of. It wasn't the hundreds of others, maybe thousands of others. I don't know who all was in Jerusalem that considered themselves as alliances of Jesus. We don't see dozens and dozens and hundreds of mourners following that pier, that body that donkey and cart up to Golgotha, do we? Or up to the cemetery. It wasn't his family. It was two men that we barely take notice of. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph. That's all we have a list of that participated in that. They bore the burden when nobody else was looking, when nobody else was paying attention, when there was no glory. And they were preparing for a funeral. They had no idea what was going to happen 3 days later, did they? This was all done with no expectation of grandeur or glory. They got dirty. They did what nobody else wanted to do. And that's what we need to do. My final point this evening is they engaged the death. While everybody else was weeping and fearing, maybe for Roman centurions to be at their door when they turned around the next minute that their fate was going to follow that of the Messiah, that they were going to be killed. Just the city was in an uproar. But there were two. There were a few that engaged the death. We need to engage the death. And there are some this evening that have never engaged the death. You know how you do that? You're buried with Christ in baptism. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. Let's read that passage. We've read it many times and we know it. But as we examine ourselves, whether we have behaved ourselves in boldness, whether we've consented to sin around us and participated in things that we have no business in participating in, whether we pay the price, whether we're busy about the Lord's work, and whether we bear our share of the burden here, we need to engage the death. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. There are some that have gone back to the ways of death. Some are living in sin. We need to revisit that death. We need to revisit that burial. And there are some here that have never named the name of Jesus as your Lord and Master and Savior and the Son of God. You can engage the death this evening. And you can rise to walk in newness of life and be pure, white as snow when you leave this building this evening. I hope these points have been helpful for you this evening. If there's any way that we can help you this evening in this congregation, please make your needs known as we stand and sing the invitation song.